Morning. It's great to be back with you today. We missed you guys last week, although we did have a really good visit with the grandbabies and got a little bit of spoiling time in and all that. So, but it's always good to be back home with you. I have a prayer update. This is from last week. This is from Tachana. Did I say that right? Okay. She had asked us to pray for her stepdad, Kenny Schallenberg, and they were having some problems, as she was telling me, communication, and he wasn't talking to her and all, and she wants you to know that they are talking now. So that's an improvement. So please continue to pray for their relationship, that some more healing will take place in that. She gave me a new prayer request, and this is on behalf of Dorothy Harris, and this is a lady that she just recently met or encountered, and she's having some problems with her eyesight, and she had just asked her to pray for it, and I don't think, if I remember correctly, you really don't even know this woman very well. She's just someone that she encountered and had asked her to pray for her. So we'll be adding her to our prayer list. So, Dorothy Harris. I got something really exciting to tell you about. I'm excited about this anyway. So this is kind of some preliminary. You know how when you first hear about some people tell you a little bit of information just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit? Well, that's what I'm going to do for you this morning, okay? We're going to be starting the first Sunday evening in January. Okay, we've got some things we have to work out, and you'll be getting more information, you know, as we progress towards that first Sunday night in January. Starting the first Sunday night in January, we're going to be doing what we're calling Sunday Night for the Master, and that's going to be a focus on evangelism. It's going to be a focus on. Well, basically what we're going to do is gather together on Sunday night, and we're going to meet in the fellowship hall. We're not going to meet in here. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall around tables, and we want you to bring folks on your heart and mind, people that you know that are not Christians or people that are struggling with faith, and we're going to spend time praying for those people, and we're going to spend some time writing notes to those people. And so that's going to be our focus. And so I want you to be thinking about that and planning for it. I want to encourage you, if you're not been participating in our Sunday night worship time and study time, I want to encourage you to plan to be a part of this ministry, Sunday Night for the Master. And so again, we'll be giving you some more information as we go along, as we move closer to that date. But keep that in mind and be praying about that new ministry effort that we're going to be doing. Okay, so please keep that in mind. We are looking at the Lordship of Jesus. You know, this particular time of the year is a time when folks are thinking about, you know, Christmas and the coming of Jesus, and typically we tend to look at Jesus as, first of all, this baby that's born, that comes into the world, and that's why we have Christmas, right? No, okay. I mean, that's part of what it's all about. But it's not just that he came here as a baby. But then we emphasize, we jump over to Easter time, and we go, okay, but yeah, but he came here to die on the cross, okay. And while that's true, okay, he did come here to die on the cross to save us from our sins. That's not the only reason that Jesus came. Jesus came to be Lord of our lives. And I'm afraid that that's a part of the message of Jesus that many are not getting. You see, the dying for our sins is easy, you see. And of course, Christmas is always easy. We get to celebrate the gifts, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we really need to get a handle on what it means to be under the Lordship of Jesus, because that's part of why He came here. And so over the next 3 weeks at least, we're going to be focusing on looking at what the Bible has to say and some things about the Lordship of Jesus. And what does that really mean for us? You see, and first of all, becoming under the Lordship of Jesus requires us, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning, it requires us to have a new identity. In other words, if Jesus is going to be your Lord, you cannot be you. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have seen the FedEx commercial on TV? There's a guy that's there in one of these FedEx stores, and he's there at the counter, and he's printing up, getting all this stuff together, posters and flyers and calendars and all this kind of stuff. He's got his name of his business, his hardware store, and his picture and all this stuff. And he's there at the counter, and these two guys walk in. They're feds. And they come up there to the counter where this guy is, and they say, "What are you doing?" You know, and they begin talking to him. He says, "This was not what we intended when we put you in the witness protection program." Okay? And the other guy says, "When we set you up in your little hardware business, we did not intend for your picture to be plastered all over town. Now we're going to have to give you a new identity." Okay? "You are no longer Eric Gustafson. You are now whatever the guy, the new name that they gave you." Okay? And of course, the guy's given his reasons for doing all this, you know, printing this stuff up. You know, FedEx makes it so easy to, you know, do all this stuff and so forth. And the guy, you know, the two guys are trying to convince him that you're no longer him. And then the end of the commercial is this lady walks in the doors of the store and she says, "Hey, that's Eric Gustafson." And the two agents turn around to her and they shout out to her, "There is no Eric Gustafson." Now, why am I telling you about this commercial? Well, because it has to do with us hiding our identity in Christ. And I'm hoping that from now on, whenever you see that commercial on TV, it will remind you of what I'm about to share with you. There is no Eric Gustafson. Okay? You see, if you go over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that text that Brandon read for us this morning, what we see there, Paul says, "For you died," okay? "For you died, and your life is now hidden." Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Okay? You died. Your life is hidden away with Christ in God. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." So, you see, to begin with, we need to understand when we are in Christ, and if you go back to the first verse of Colossians chapter 3, which is a verse we've been studying over the last couple of weeks here, you see, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." You see? Then he goes on to say this, "For you died." Why? Because you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So if you have been raised with Christ, then your life is hidden away. At least it should be. Your life should be hidden away with Christ Jesus in God. You see, I want you to think about it in terms of, okay, go back to that commercial and some of the things that are said. Do you go showing yourself all over town? Is that what you want people to see? Or when people see you as you're going about your business all over town, at work, at home, or wherever, are they seeing you or are they seeing Christ? See, God did not set us up in His witness protection program, so to speak, so that we could go around plastering our face all over town. He wants us to be showing Him to other people, you see. And so, is your life hidden with Christ in God. You see, we should be showing our new identity since we have been raised with Christ. Because, you see, when that happens, then our life on a daily basis is no longer about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And that's what a new identity is all about. That's what we're talking about. Is that in order for Jesus to really be Lord of our lives, we can no longer be who we were. We have to have a new identity. We have to lose ourselves in Christ Jesus. And so, therefore, when somebody walks in the room and they say, "Hey, there's Russ Urich," then my response should be, "There is no Russ Urich." And so you put your name in that space also. You see? There is no James Britt, no Jerry Radcliffe, no Keith Griffin, no Rick C., no Dale. There is none. It's all about Jesus. If we truly are seeking a new identity since we've been raised with Christ, our self has been hidden away with Christ in God. Well, the reason that that has to happen is because you don't belong to you anymore. Did you realize that? See? Yeah, you don't belong to you. Now, I know that for a lot of you that may be a shock, okay? Because we live in a culture that has a mindset that I just refer to as mine and me. You see, everything that we focus on tends to be about me and my stuff, right? That's mine. We tend to live that way, don't we? And we worry about our stuff and our things. And it tends to be all about me. And what am I getting out of life? And what are you doing for me? Well, but the reality is, when our life is hidden with Christ in God, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We don't own ourselves anymore. So again, it's not about me, it's about Him. See? The Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 tells us, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." He's talking there about immorality. Sexual immorality is a main topic of what he's talking about there. And he's talking about the way that we use our bodies and whether that honors God or not. And he warns you, he says, make sure you're using your body in the right way because you don't belong to you anymore. Well, I want to suggest to you that doesn't just apply to us in terms of our sexuality. It applies to us in terms of how we live our life, period. What you do with yourself because you don't belong to you anymore. See? And that's something that we, as people who have been raised with Christ, have to get over. It's not about us. It's about Him. Because you don't own yourself. Now, how does that make you feel? You see? You don't belong to you anymore. People will oftentimes express and make a statement, something like, you know, when someone's talking to them about maybe something they're doing or something they're involved in that they know they shouldn't be or what have you, and they'll say, "It's my life, I'll do what I want to." Well, no, it's not your life. You see, that's the point. It's not your life. If you are in Christ, it doesn't belong to you anymore. And so you do not have the right to do what you want to anymore because you belong to Christ and your life has been hidden away with Christ in God. So it's not yours to do with whatever you please. You see, every single one of us at one time were slaves to sin. we have been bought or purchased by a new master. Okay. Now, in order for us to have a new master, we have to have had an old master. Okay. We had to have an old master. So what does that tell you about the state of how we live? We're never free to do what we want. We belong to someone. You see, whether it's to Satan or whether it's to Christ. If you look over in Romans 6, turn over there for just a moment and look at what Paul says beginning in verse 16. Romans 6, beginning in verse 16. He says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." It's an either or. There's no other option here, is there? Okay? It's one or the other. Okay? Then he says, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness." Okay. You obeyed that form of teaching. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the gospel. Okay. You obeyed the gospel. The Greek word that's used there is tupos, or form. And it's referring to the gospel itself. That's the form of teaching that they obeyed. But notice that what he's saying here is, you went from one master to the other. Okay? But the point being, you are enslaved by someone. Before Christ, you're enslaved to sin. But since you have been raised with Christ, now you're enslaved to righteousness. God is our master or our Lord, you see. We're free from sin, but then our bondage carries over or transfers over to Christ. So we're never truly free to do whatever it is we want. And that's an important point that we have to understand. People oftentimes, you know, this, "I just want to be free. I want to do whatever I want to do." Well, you need to understand that whatever you do, you are serving one master or the other. See? There's no way out of that. See? So hopefully that should help us to see that more and more, that it's really not about us. You see? It's more about who we are serving in our lives. Because we don't belong to us. When we were in our sins, we didn't belong to us. We belonged to Satan. When we're in Christ Jesus, we don't belong to us either. We belong to Christ. Okay? So we need to understand we're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ Jesus. And what that really means then, ultimately, is there's a new you. Thus, there is no Eric Gustafson, you see. Because there's a new you. When a person becomes a Christian, when they're washed in the blood of the Lamb through baptism, you say, then the old is washed away, the new begins. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. The old isn't there anymore. You see, the new is where you are. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, he says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, it's going from the old to the new. And we are, when we are in Christ, we're no longer in the old, we are in the new. There is a new you. Colossians chapter 3, go back there where we started, okay, and read verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other. Paul's giving instructions here on how to live as Christians. He says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You see, it's all about getting rid of the old and putting on the new. Okay. Make me new, Lord Jesus, make me new. For it seems that in so many ways I'm not enough like you. Take this weary vessel I am in and mold me once again. Take my life, take my spirit, make me new. That's what a new identity is all about. If Jesus is going to be Lord of our lives, then we need to be made new in Christ Jesus. We need to get rid of, we need to let go of our old self so that we can be made new in the image of Christ Jesus. So therefore, in order to have Jesus as Lord, there is no Eric Gustafson. There is no whatever your name is anymore. And when you get that in your mind, when you really get that, and you make the connection between intellectually up here, and then you get it down here in your heart, then your life is truly going to be different. Because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Christ Jesus, totally and completely. Does your life belong to you still, or does it belong to Jesus? Realize that if you think it belongs to you, as I've shared with you, know that it doesn't. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Satan. If you have not given your life to Christ, if you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and had those sins washed away, then your life still belongs to Satan. Because the only way it can belong to Christ is for you to have your sins washed away, because those sins are what separate you from God. So if that's where you are this morning, if you're still separated from God, a slave to sin, I'm here to tell you right now, you can do something about that. You can get rid of that side and you can become a slave or a servant of righteousness, having Jesus as your Lord, if you're ready to make that commitment. You need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. Proclaim Him as such. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. For those of you who are already Christians, and maybe some of the things that I've shared with you this morning have caused you to realize maybe you've been trying to hold on to you instead of having your life hidden with Christ in God, then maybe there's some things you've got to get rid of out of your life. And if that's the case with you, then I want to encourage you to do that this morning. If you need prayers or guidance or encouragement in any way, all you got to do is let us know. I'll be up here in the front, and Dale, will you be in the back there? Dale will be in the back since Ted's up, going to be leading our song here. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with Dale in the back, you can go back there and see him, or I'll be up here in the front to receive you here. Let's stand together and sing.